This is the Underground King, Slick Wagner Brown. You're watching the Three Count Podcast.
Yeah, when the sun goes down, i.e. Nick Dawg.
Well, by now, if you've heard this intro, you know what that means. This is Now Entering 201, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And, you know, you have gone through all of our episodes, or you haven't, and you should, because you know that as your Sherpa, it's never about me, it's about who's entering. So who's entering the ring? You see this man right here. He is a legend in the making. He is more accolades than your favorite wrestler currently. And that's just not even the most of the boast. This is the man, the Underground King himself, Slick Wagner Brown.
What's up, Red Dog?
What's up, man? I know, like, the last time that we had you on the show, you had just hit, like, was it your 25th anniversary?
I believe so. Yeah, 25th. Yeah, 25 years, man.
This is crazy. Time.
Yeah.
Well, like, being in the business for, like, so long, like, I'm sure you've seen lots of things come and go. I know you're also a trainer, especially being that you were, you know, Killer Kowalski student, right? One of the things that I've been like trying to figure out is like I'm growing into my fifth year, right? So I'm in my fourth year. Next year, obviously, will be year number five. And I've always kind of like wondered, like, what do people look at when they see those wrestlers that are coming up through the business, and like, what are expectations, I guess?
Like as far as a promoter's point of view, you mean?
Yes, we'll go with everything. It's kind of like, because like you're a worker too, so you're not just a promoter, you know. So there's like, there's a.
Well, it's different depending on whose perspective, right? So from a promoter's perspective, the first thing they're looking at is, you know, where did you learn your art of pro wrestling, and that kind of gives them an idea of what to expect, if that makes sense. As far as like a wrestler's point of view is concerned. You don't really know what to expect, right? As far as a wrestler is concerned, like this is the independence, and we're on the independence. So you don't really know who's standing across the ring from you, right? That person could be trained, it could not be trained. They could have learned from someone who understands the business, could be learned from someone who doesn't understand the business. There's all kinds of people in our business on this level, you know what I mean? So there's not really, you know, you don't know what to expect from a wrestler's perspective.
So I think it's interesting, though, because like I get to hear like different parts of the business, especially having this podcast, right? It allows me to kind of like branch out and like learn so much more about what's going on. And it was something I remember like talking about it at Bio Pro Wrestling in Worcester. I had mentioned it. I was like, masters of a craft take about 10,000 hours to spend, right? And so while you're young, put the hours in. And I realized, like, I'm not a spring chicken. I don't make no fuss about it. And I don't hide it really, but I do understand about the aspect of like working and putting in. And this is why I think it's so important for like someone like me to like talk to other veterans and bring other people on like the podcast and just chat with them about like the finer things that tune up, because everybody's going to have to have a solid base, right? You're going to have to know how to do your bumps. You're going to have to know how to do like, obviously like an Irish whip, right? You're going to have to know like certain spots. You're just going to have to know. But like, it was something that that Tom had said, where he had mentioned that you know, the wrestling moves don't matter. It's the in-betweens that matter, like how you get into those positions. And I think to me, I'm like, wow, like now I'm just trying to figure out like how to fine-tune the transitions, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because like in between the moves is where the character comes out. So that's the separator, right? So everyone's going to come in and do – you know, what we do, the pro wrestling, right? A hip toss is a hip toss, right? But to say that they don't matter is not completely true, because you got to hit them at the right moments. And also like the execution, right? So I can see a hip toss and it's whatever, it barely gets a reaction, right? Because the execution is off. But I can see another hip toss, the same move, nothing has changed. It's just the execution. This one is higher and the bump is cleaner. And that gets a better reaction. So it's the same move, but the execution changes how people react. And to level up on that is putting it in the right place. That also changes the reaction as well, right? So you can get a mediocre reaction, no reaction, and you can get a great reaction. nothing has changed except for the execution and the placement, right? But the move is the constant. It's the same, same move. But you have three different reactions to that same move.
See, and I like that. And that's like, that's where, like, I guess I'm trying to, I'm growing as a worker myself now, is like trying to figure out, like, it really listening to the crowd and like understanding right. how the vibe's going, and then like working the psychology side of everything. And yeah. that's not something I want to get into, like, talking here, because you guys don't get that part. That's just not a thing. Okay. So you yeah. guys have to, like, you go find your own knowledge, but like, those will probably be something like I'll talk more about with you like afterwards. But it's yeah. one of those things where it's like, you have to interpret everything. All the situations differently. Everything's going to be yeah. different, especially on the independent, because you may want to come out as a face, but the crowd may not feel you. So you may have to transition to a heel, and you may have to restructure your match or just follow the same flow of the match, just reverse roles. And it's tough, because like, I don't have the experience to handle those. And that's why I think this is why it's so important to me to come and talk about it on shows like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where, like, you know, reps come in, right? It's mostly reps in that situation. So like, if you're in the ring a lot and, you know, you're repping out, you get to a point where you're not worried about doing those things anymore. You're not worried about, you know, doing a hip toss or a body slam or anything like that, because you do it so much, you know, it just becomes second nature. So now you can take the time to focus on the psychology part of it, you know, getting the reaction that you're looking for at the right time. You know, if your reps are not where it needs to be, then you don't really have that opportunity to do that, because you're too focused on the moves still.
Yeah.
You know, where the moves should become second nature, like, you know, tying your shoes or brushing your teeth. You know, you do that so much that you don't think about how to do that anymore. You know what I mean?
It's one of those things where I talked to, we had Justin Credible on the show a while yeah. ago. And I remember, like, post-production, like, we were talking, and he said, he's like, listen, like, the one thing you should always do, right, call the beginning. Call the yeah. end, and then just yeah. feel out the rest in the middle. Like, just right. listen to the crowd. Figure things. Right. Maybe the crowd doesn't like you doing stomps, right? Don't do a stomp. Yeah. And yeah. I thought that was so cool. And I've tried to go back and like do that, but I know that the people like I end up working also don't know how to do that. So it's like right. I've got to tie myself up and like, all right, well, we'll call this spot here, and we'll do this here, and we'll do that there. But I never tell them like what to do. I'm always just like, all right, we'll just run this situation here, and if this spot works out, then, you know, cool, we'll just keep at it. But if not, then we'll change it up and figure something else out while we're there, and we'll get into, you know, we'll get into a rest hold, and we'll just go from there, and we'll see what happens. And it's always unique to like try to plan for the unexpected,
right? One of the things that I would say is don't work down to someone else's level. Always have them work up to your level. And that doesn't mean like try to have the same match you have with, you know, a top tier talent with someone that's not on that level. It's not about like, you know, doing the same match with this person and that person. It's whatever you do, it's at the same level of intensity and execution. You know what I mean? Because you can inspire that person, right? They're not on your level yet, but you can inspire them to be on your level. You can, you know, give them something to work towards, you know what I mean? They work with you, and then now, you know, they're not going to be able to work with you every night. Not on this level, obviously, but, you know, you leave them with a new inspiration, like, shit, this is what I need to work on. This is what I need to do. And now they're in the gym more, they're in the ring more, and you just had a solid impact on that person in freaking, you know, 10-minute match and however long it took you to, you know, interact behind the scenes.
Oh no, I like
just,
that.
You just changed their whole outlook and everything and goals.
See, and that's like, I like that a lot, because it's one of those things where like, I know, it wasn't recent, but it was last year. I was in a locker room, and another promoter from another company was like complimenting me, because he was like, oh man, like, since I first met you to now, like, you've changed. You've always been in a gym. He's like, I'm going to do the same things too. And yeah. he did yeah. for about 2 months and then fell off.
Right. Yeah. Discipline, but it's, right?
yo, it, but yeah. it is so crazy, because when you think about it, like, what we end up doing, right? Like, from like, obviously having like a good, like, young wrestlers, right? I won't put it that way. they're always putting in like a diet, right? They go to the gym, they go to training, they, you know, they go to shows, right? And they're this, it's a constant battle of like doing it over and over and over again. And it does take a wear and tear. And sometimes like you have to kind of slow down on certain aspects of it and just be like, hey, like I can't be in a gym 5 days a week, 6 days a week. So I'm just going to go 3 times a week, but I'll probably hit it just as intense as I would as if I was in there 6 days a week. And I'm going to go to training twice a week, right? And work on my stuff and then get back to whatever I got to do. And I, for me, like right now, I had a whole car situation where I couldn't even go to training. So like, yeah. It's been about a month and I'm like, oh, I'm just fiending to get back into the ring. But I'm like, in the meantime, you know, I run 4 times a week. I'm in the gym 5 times a week. Like I'm still right. working on promos and like, I'm still trying to do the character aspects, match watching. Like I do all the other stuff that I need to do, but there right. is a thing about physically being in a ring where taking a bump and like knowing you're like, okay, I'm going to be fine.
Then yeah. There's no substitute for the in-ring stuff, right? You can do all the cardio in the world in a gym, but you know, it's not the same as being in a ring. And part of it is just, you know, your mind just, it's constantly going. So that, you know, blows you up even faster, you know, and that goes back to just being in the ring all the time and getting to that level where you're not thinking about anything and you're not second guessing yourself at all. Cause this is what you do every day. This is what you do. So, you know.
It's one of those things too, where like I've talked to a few of my friends and, you know, especially because I moved from going down from Maryland up to Massachusetts. And now like, it's like the wrestling scene here is like so massive. And I'm like, yeah. Yo, this is so crazy. But then inside that massive group of people, like you can get lost. You can get lost yeah. pretty quick. So I'm like, yeah. try to find some people that I can just kind of like anchor myself to. So that way I can chat with them and hit them up whenever. And like, you know, if it wasn't for something like this, like I would never be able to. I would just be like, I don't know who to talk to. I guess this is just kind of like the washout for me and then just figure it out. But luckily, like here, you know, finally things will start picking up for myself in the New England area. But it's like the being patient game and like just steady on the course is so yeah. hard sometimes to do.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, and that's why you have to be passionate about what we do, right? If you're doing it for other reasons like money or fame, that doesn't last. You know, if you're passionate about it, then that's what's going to help you, you know, get through those tough times. I mean, you know, you have in your favor that you're a new face to the area, right? So you're someone that the you know, the fans in this area hasn't seen. So that is in your favor. The flip side of that is normally, you know, you only get, you know, one or two chances to make that first impression, right? So you gotta really be prepared. So that's why I tell my guys, it's like, you know, preparation takes time and opportunities don't take appointments, right?
Right.
So, you know, opportunities like, hey man, let's do this, you know, 10 months down the road. That's not how it works, you know? Someone hits you up out of the blue. Hey man, we got a spot open. We need someone for this. And that's your opportunity. And if you're not ready or prepared, then it's not going to work out. But that's why it's so important to stay prepared, stay ready, because you never know when that opportunity is going to come.
Yeah, it's one of those things I learned in the military too, was like you have the what we call the hurry up and wait process, right? So you hurry up and then you wait. So you right. get everything ready to go, but then you're yes. always at the whim. You're just waiting for that, for whatever to pop off. And it's, you know, I've talked with people like Martin Stone, who also said the same thing. He was like, and he said it. He was like, with the WWE, one thing that they always say is hurry up and get there, but take your time. And right. I'm like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. 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 You never know. It's very unpredictable.
It really is. And then like you work your way to network and talk to people and understand like where everybody's coming from. And in the meantime, you're trying to find like, And this is where I'm at too. And it's like I go to a couple places and just do drop-ins and try to get some kind of just anything in, right? Whether it's just simple taking back bumps or learning how to take, you know, doing flip bumps all over again, working in international, whatever the case may be. It's just I just want to do whatever I can just to kind of keep myself fresh on right. it, because I know that when the time comes, like I'm already set. Like my bag's already packed. All I gotta do is just throw my stuff in the back of the car, just get up and go, and I'm out. Like I'm ready to go. But it's right. like we've been saying, right? Like you have to be passionate about this, and it was something that I recently heard, actually from Mr. John Cena. Thank you for this one. But yeah. He's like, you don't work hard for things that you don't care about. And I was right. like, man, I must love this, because this is a glutton yeah. of punishment I'm taking right now.
yeah. I mean, it's like on the higher level, people don't think about it, but it's like a movie, right? So there's roles and characters, and you might meet someone 5 years ago, you know, and you're like, that's a good person to meet, and they're in a position of power where they make decisions. Why, you know, haven't they reached out or whatever? But it's because, you know, that character or that story hasn't presented itself yet. You know, when that time comes, they might go, oh shit, I met this guy 5 years ago in this place, and I think he would be perfect for that role. And you know, that's how that works. You know what I mean? It's not instant like everyone thinks it is or believes or want to believe it is. Yeah.
I was talking to a couple people, and they were like, hey man, like, we definitely want to use you, but we just got to write you into a story. And yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever's clever. I'm like, I'll wait. And it's funny, 'cause like in the meantime, like I've gone through these whole periods of where, like, at first, like I wanted to be kind of like the more Deadpoolish type of character, where it's just kind of funny comedy. But then like, as I start playing with the idea of like working with some friends and stuff like that, I'm like, yo, I kind of want to be like just a rolling BA, just a rolling badass. Like, doesn't yeah. care, just wants to go through and just destroy everybody. Good, bad, doesn't matter. He just wants to, you know, the money and like the fame for it. And I think yeah. that's like, I shot this promo a couple weeks back, and I had a couple friends critique it, and I got some good feedback on it, and then I got some excellent critiques back on it too. And I was like, all right, I think we might be onto something with this. So I'm like, I'm very curious on like how I can change things. But it goes back to like in the business, like certain areas, like you have to kind of change your character up, or who your character is, because just because like I know down in like the DMV, like my character's kind of known for the comedy side of things and being kind of funny, although he's still like really intel specialist. But being up here, it's not so much that way. Like you kind of, there are certain promotions that kind of run that way, but you really like, there's a lot more like vibrato, I guess, to put out there for it.
A lot of what?
Just a lot of like, what do you want? How's the right word I'm looking for? And a lot of stone-faced people, we'll put it that way. Yeah. Where it's like, you know, we're here heavy hitting, and I, regardless, I was like, well, I'm going to change this character up so that way I can do that in here too.
Yeah.
It makes sense to fit in right now, and then, you know, eventually like let the other side come out. But for now, it's like, yo, let's change this up. Let's bring this to a more serious mercenary if we need to. I was like, let's ball out, see what happens. Worst that can happen is
go ahead. You gotta remember, like, a lot of people fall into that trap where they see something working for someone else, and then they think that that's what they have to be. But like we all have our own personalities, right? Each one of us has a different personality. So I always think it's a good thing to turn that up, right? Whatever your personality is, turn it up to a 10. All right. Because this is pro wrestling, right? It's not different than acting, right? Everyone who's acting in a movie or a TV show is going out there and doing the same thing, right? It's acting. What's the difference between how they do it and the next person? And that's personality, right? They put their own spin on things, and the way they execute is different. And the way they do things in the right moment is different. How they react to things is different. Like, you're going to have a different reaction to the same thing than I would, because we have two different personalities.
Right.
So that's in your favor. If we're doing a movie or a TV show, which is, you know, pro wrestling on any level, right? We have six stories. We don't want six stories with the same character,
right?
The same individual. It wouldn't be interesting or entertaining to the fans. That's like Groundhog Day. Every story is the same, and it shouldn't be. You know, every story is different because every character is different. So everyone reacts to things a certain way. Everyone does things a certain way, and that's why, you know, we don't try to change people's personalities and make them into the same thing, because that's taking away what makes you unique. So we want you to be unique. We want you to be yourself. Obviously, there's certain things that we got to change, you know, to fit the environment that we're in, which is pro wrestling, right? You have to stop at a certain moment in your story to let that character out and let people digest what you're doing. You can't just run through every moment, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and it's one of those things where I was like, even just like the way that, like, because I continue like to, you know, and it's one of those things where you, I guess how I'm going to put it, the way I learned, right, was you like ask yourself questions as far as like your character goes in character, right? You ask yourself questions and you answer those questions in the character form. And then as you build the world up, you'll learn more about like how your character wants to move and like wrestle and work and just do all the things that they want to do. So I know for me, as far as like Red Dog goes, like, he knows what he's trying to try to get accomplished. And it's, I know that if I'm like somewhere, if I'm like art of storytelling, like I can like portray those things. It is just one of those things where I guess, I don't know, for me, it's going to be one of those things where I just like get back into doing reps and then just learning and understanding and continuing to grow like that side of him. Cause I do myself, man, I'm too quirky to not be like, to not be always be serious. Like I make dark humor jokes at the most inappropriate times. Like I remember one time I was working a match, I got kicked in the back, and just out of nowhere, just out of me, right, I just was like, oh, right in the spine, and like I thought it was hilarious. The guy behind me was trying not to break because he ducked his face into my back and was trying not to laugh, but like,
yeah,
the promoter didn't like it.
Right. Do you know why? Like,
just because it wasn't really for their promotion. It wasn't really a comedy style based promotion. It was like they wasn't just a fan of it. And I was like, dang,
that's
tough, because those are things that I just do naturally. Like, I'll walk.
You can still do that, but when you're getting your ass kicked, or you're supposed to be getting your ass kicked.
Yeah.
And you make a joke in the middle of getting your ass kicked, it kind of kills the believability of you getting your ass kicked.
Yeah.
But you can do the same thing if you're the one kicking ass. So, like, right, if you're the one to hit him in the spine, you can make that joke because you're in control. Right?
So, I mean, I was gonna
it's the
say,
same thing, like, just flipping it.
I was like, because I'm the person, though, that I will walk outside and I'll slip and fall on ice. And I do make those jokes. Because that's how I deal with the pain side of things. I just laugh at the pain.
Yeah.
And I guess that's one aspect of me where, like, I think of like Red Dog is like whenever he gets put into a hold or something to that extent, like he wants to laugh because that's how he deals like the trauma side of him and like building that layer up of him that like, hey, this is a combat veteran who understands that, like, hey, just going off the rails and all we can do really is just laugh at it until like we can get back in control. And because I've definitely fallen in, I broke a finger because I fell on some ice and I just laughed at the whole pain. So I guess that for me, it probably was the most appropriate thing, because I was in pain when I got kicked in the spine.
Right. You can do that though, like, but you can put that stuff in your promos,
right?
Yeah. You just can't do it in the ring where you want people to believe that you're getting beat up and you're in pain and you have to sell that in order to get that sympathy that you need as a hero. So that kind of like...
No, it definitely makes...
Yeah, if someone believes that you're in pain and then you make a joke in the middle of getting beat up, then they go, oh, he's just fucking around. He's not in pain. You know what I mean?
It
interferes with their ability to believe what's happening.
But you
can definitely put that in your promos for sure. Because I don't know too many people who are doing that.
Right. No, it's definitely, it reminds me of like Mosh and Thrash, the Headbangers, like on SmackDown. I don't know if you remember, but like on SmackDown, you put them in a wrestle and they would get they would get put in a chokehold, and then they would be like, "Oh yeah, this doesn't really hurt," and then you're like, "What?"
Yeah, that's probably part of the reason why. Yeah.
Now, like, oh, you know what?
It's counterproductive for sure.
I probably shouldn't do that.
It's counterproductive for sure. Yeah. Imagine if you went to the movies and you sat down, the movie started, and then you could see all the wires and the cables and the green screen and everything that they edited out, right? Would you want a refund?
Come on,
you know you would want a refund. You wouldn't want to watch that movie.
But let's be real. Like, if it's Deadpool that we're watching it, like, those are things that we 100% expect. Like, those kind of, like, behind the scenes.
You're not going to watch that movie, dude. Come on. Come on.
I'm just trying to justify.
You're not going to watch that. You're not paying for that. You'll be $20, $15 for that. No fucking way.
I definitely did a watch. Because I don't know if – remember when, like, X-Men Origins got released before, like, all the CGI got cleaned up? And so they had all the wires and everything in it. And I remember, like, watching the movie, and I was like, I'm not watching this movie.
No one's watching that. Like, we know they're not fucking flying around, right? We know they're not really in this fucking country or whatever they say. We know that in the back of our minds. But when you're watching the movie, you're not thinking about any of that shit. Nope. You just want to be, you know, entertained. You just want a good movie. That's all we want. Yeah. We don't want to see any of that shit. Yeah. And it's the same thing with pro wrestling, right? Same thing with pro wrestling. We don't, if we believe you're hurt, we definitely don't want you to tell us that you're not hurt. It's all a dream, fair, folks. Fair. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. It's not, don't worry about it. It's predetermined. Like, this didn't really hurt. Like, no, yeah, I definitely get it.
They know that. They don't want us to tell them that.
So, okay, take this over, right? What are some of the things that you kind of, like, look for in, like, wrestlers, like, to come to your promotion?
I mean, the first thing is, like I said before, is, like, who coached you, you know? Who's your trainer? Because, again, that lets me know what to expect. And then I really don't know, like, you know, most people, I don't know, you know what I mean? So the only thing that we have to go by is who's your coach, and just, you know, what you send for a match. So, like, do they have their basics? You know, can they tie up? Can they bump? Can they hit the ropes? You know, rolls, you know, basic stuff. Can they do the basic stuff? Because that's what everything that we do is built on, is the basics. No one's reinventing the wheel here. You know what I mean? As far as everything else, that's your personality, your character, you know, whatever you create in that sense is what's going to make you different. And obviously, like I said before, your execution on the basics, how you do the basics. That's also another separator. But we're all going out there, we're all doing the same thing. No one's reinventing the wheel.
It was something I learned and I heard, although I'll be fully transparent, I don't have the cash flow to do this, but there were some dudes who wrestled in Japan, right? That's where they started. And then they went to Mexico and they started going back to school in Mexico. And they learned the basics of Japanese wrestling, then learned the basics of, like, Mexican luchador. And then they came to America and they learned Americans basics. And then they went to Europe and learned the British basics, and then formed their own style, right? They went back to Japan and they had all these basics all put together. And it was a contrary to different styles, but it looked really cool when they started flexing and put them all together. And I was like, man, like, that is so cool to learn. So for me, like,
yeah,
I know, like, here we have certain ways, certain things that we're looking for, like you said, right, on the basics. And I remember, like, talking to Ruckus and just asking him, like, to show me different things that, like, people weren't doing anymore. And chaining was, like, the number one thing he taught me. He was like, listen, there's this box here. I'm going to teach you that there's a box. We're going to be in the box the whole time. We're not moving out of this box. And I was like, okay. And so he taught me, like, how to, like, perform in, like, pretty much like a 3x3. And I was like, oh, this is actually really kind of fun. Actually, I enjoy this more and more. And I remember, like, him, and he was like, look, I can do all those stuff that all those guys can do. Look. And then he jumps on the top rope and does a like a what is it, a Starship Pain. Like, he's like, I can do that too. He's like, I just choose not to. And I was like, this was 2 years ago. I was like, oh shit, like Ruckus gets to go.
So it's interesting you brought that up. Like, I had a conversation with someone recently. I'm like, the basics are the basics, right? I don't think, no matter where you are in the world, the basics are the basics. How you bump is how you bump. A flip bump's a flip bump. A back bump's a back bump. How you hit the ropes, how you hit the ropes. Rolls are rolls. Tying up is tying up. A body slam is a body slam. A hip toss is a hip toss, right? An arm drag is an arm drag. It doesn't change. There's different variations, but I'm talking about the basic, simple, regular arm drag, not Japanese or anything else, just regular arm drag. Those are basic stuff, and they should be the same no matter where you are. The things that change is the psychology, right? The psychology is different in Japan. The psychology is different in America. The psychology is different in England. The psychology is different in Mexico. The presentation is also different in all those countries. Like for the US, we're more entertainment based, right? Japan is strong style, like a sport. England is freestyle, chain wrestling, right? If you want to fucking master the art of chain wrestling, you focus on those guys. Those guys got it down. Like they mastered the art of chain wrestling. In Mexico, it's the presentation, right? The characters, their outfit, you know, what they present is that they have that shit on lock, right? No one comes out looking like those guys, you know. They take that shit to the highest level, you know. And but he's right. Like when you visit all those different countries, you take away those things that they master, right? You know, I don't think depends on where you are. I don't think the strong style stuff really translate in America, because when guys stop selling, the American audience gets very confused.
Yep.
they're like, wait a minute. This guy just got dumped on his head and he's up doing something else. Like, what's happening? You know, it doesn't translate here. But in Japan, they love that shit. They love it. You know, to them, it's fighting spirit. And they're conditioned for that. They've been watching that, you know, since the beginning of pro wrestling. You know what I mean? That's their condition to seeing that. Whereas in America, like, you have to condition the audience to seeing that and appreciating that. And, you know, some audiences do, but for the most part, it doesn't translate.
No, I definitely agree. There, I think that's what I like about the U.S., right, is that we have a, well, and I guess in Japan they do too, because let's be real, not everything is New Japan or all Japan. But like in the US, like we have like all these different places that we can go, like just for instance, right, New England Pro. Let's just go New England, the New England area, right? You have a lot of entertainment spots, right? With like, we can use Rad Pro, for instance, right? Or you have, you know, Test of Strength, right? You have like hard, you know, guys who can entertain, but then you also have guys who like can just hit hard, right? And then you look at Grind, like that's another company, right? Like these guys are all, they all have different things that they can pull, but they all like, they all condition their audiences to doing one thing, right? Or to understanding one type. And I like that aspect of like being able to sit back and pull and look and watch people's matches and understand like where they're coming from and what they're doing or how they're getting the crowd to get involved. Because ultimately, student of the game is what you have to be in this thing if you want to succeed.
Yeah. And you got to be flexible. You got to be able to switch it up. You know, if you, like you said earlier, if you go out there and, you know, when we're in the back, this, the ideas that flow, the ideas that we think the audience will respond to, you know, it's not, you know, that's not a fact. This is how I think, or how you think the audience is going to respond. And when you go out there, sometimes it's like, oh shit, they're not buying what I'm selling. They're not responding the way I thought they would. And you got to be able to fucking, you know, switch it up. You got to be able to figure out what the audience wants, you know? And that's, again, that's why you got to watch the first match, because no two audiences are the same. The first match is most likely going to tell you what the audience is looking for. You know, sometimes they don't figure it out either, but you know, they're the ones that have the biggest challenge, you know. But you know, I also on the flip side feel like, you know, the audience has been waiting for pro wrestling. They've been sitting here waiting for pro wrestling. So give them pro wrestling. If that doesn't work, which is rare, if it doesn't work, then they just want something else. They want to be entertained, they want to be a part of the show, or they want to, you know, blood and guts, you know, and it's up to you to figure it out.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I've had people ask me, they're like, where do you prefer to be on the card? And I always tell them, like, I like being first. I like just going out. I like being first. I like being the curtain jerker. Yeah.
First is the best. They haven't first seen shit.
Right.
They haven't seen shit.
You get
shit.
To set the tempo.
The best gig.
Like, yeah. That's what you get to do.
Yeah, that's
prepare for the show. We're gonna
That's the only hard part about being first, right? You set the tempo. So if the crowd is the shits, like, you're a part of that. You know what I mean? If the crowd is fired up, you're also a part of that. You're the reason for that. You know, you gave them what they wanted and you set them on fire. And now you can ride that wave till the end. You know what I mean? As far as being last, that's the most difficult spot on the card to be is last. But you know, if you're last, that means you're not the guy that's going to go out there and do everything that they've already seen. Everybody's seen that. They've seen everything. By the time you get out there, they've seen everything. The person that's last is just, you're that dude or you're that girl. They're paying to see you. Right? Yeah. If you're last, they're paying to see you. Because by the time you get out there, they've seen everything. They've seen everything. Yep. All right? They've seen everything. You're not going to do anything different that they haven't fucking seen, but what they haven't seen is you,
right?
And that's the dude that's last, that's the girl that's last, is they haven't seen you. They're paying to see that person, that personality. That's what separates you from everyone else on the card. And it's the same for everybody else. They, you know, a lot of them just don't know it yet.
Yeah, so
yeah,
be yourself. That's what I hear.
Be yourself.
Yes. Be yourself. That's the theme of the show.
That's the only thing that's unique, man. That's the only thing that's unique. You know, you as an individual is unique. There's not two of you. There's not two Red Dogs out there. There's only one. There might be someone trying to be Red Dog, but they're just trying to be Red Dog.
Yeah.
You're the only one. Yes.
I will say I'm the only one who's spelling my name the way I am. However, there is another Red Dog. He is based out of Texas, and you know, Rodney, don't kill me, because Rodney Mack is that guy.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, he's the original Red Dog.
He's the real.
As far as I know. Yeah.
I mean, like, my nickname came because of my first name. Like, that's as OG as it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. All right, man. So real quick, we're going to take this over to our favorite game. When we had you on last time, we did the 10 count questions. This time we do what's called pin, submit, DQ on this show, where I'm going to give you three different categories. You got pin one, submit one, or DQ one.
Okay.
All right. So our first category, some people let you know very well. Sammy Diaz, Ichiban, and Dustin Waller.
Flash, I call him Flash.
Flash.
Pin one, DQ one, submit one. Let's see. DQ one, pin one, submit one. Let's go with submit and Flash. Pinning Sammy and DQ in Ichiban.
Okay. I like it. all right. So our next category, some familiar foes that will be brought into this, right? So we're gonna go with Luke Cage. We're gonna go with the Black Panther himself, T'Challa, and then we're gonna go with Falcon.
You said Falcon?
Yeah, Falcon. You know,
same
Captain
thing.
America.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Same thing, pin submit DQ.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay. So you said Black Panther, Falcon, and who's the third?
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, right. We're going to DQ Luke Cage. we're gonna pin Falcon and submit Black Panther.
I like it. So the last category, also some favorites of mine, right? So we're going to go with Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Ice Cube.
Dr. J, Snoop, and Ice Cube. We're gonna submit Snoop. We're gonna DQ Cube, and we're gonna pin Dr. Dre.
I like it. Cause you know what? We submitting Snoop sounds about right, because we ain't forgot that you was in Def Jam Fight for New York. All right, Crow, who's paying attention? Who's paying attention? So listen, those are like really all my questions. I just want to thank you again for coming on our show. And if you could, please remind our listeners and our viewers where they can find you.
Facebook, IG, and X, formerly known as Twitter. It's all the same. It's SWB for real. It's the number 4 on IG and spelled out on X.
There you go. He gave you all his handles. He told you we could find him. And so what does that mean? Like every great part of a wrestling match, we got to take this home. Because this is the 3 Count Podcast Presents, now entering 201. And I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And, you know, like we said, it's never about me. It's about who's entering. So who's entering? The Underground King himself. That's right. Slick Wagner Brown is joining us. And you guys know what to do. Tune into the next episode and be there. Or... listen, you're really just following us on all of our social media platforms. You're subscribed to our YouTube channel. You're following us on Spotify. You're even checking us out on Amazon Music because we're there too. Or you're even checking us out on iHeartRadio or whatever that dumb jingle is that they do. You're buying all of our merch on ProWrestlingTees.com or ForYourWear.com. You're even telling your friends, your uncles, your aunties, your moms, your dads, your sisters, your brothers, your dog, your cat, your pet goldfish, who probably isn't your original pet goldfish, you know, dad replaced it before. Or you're really just telling your enemies about us, because we love haters too. So you're doing all that stuff, or really you're just kind of waiting for this episode and you're waiting for that outro and you're choosing another episode to listen to. Kawaii. What's going on? It is Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is just kind of show us some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3 Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3 Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3 Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3Count_Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at ProWrestlingTees.com/the3CountPodcast, or even find us on ForYourWear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love, because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, between time, love y'all.